We're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And good friend Bill Akers, he's going to, Facebook Live. So how you guys doing? Not sure how well this is going to do, but my other friend Bill, he's the one that sets up the website videos. And if you know anybody that has Facebook, and you can encourage them to go to the Facebook page, the Hidden Treasures Facebook page, and they can watch archived services. And so appreciate Bill 1 and Bill 2. So appreciate you guys. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, in the New Living Translation, it says, I urge you. Now, that says something. That just doesn't say when you feel like it. That just doesn't say when you every blue moon. This is like, hey, I am encouraging you. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Everyone say all. All right, all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all. Everyone say all. And all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, Lord, for this day. Today is the day that you have made, Lord. We will choose, Lord, even though what's going on in our world today, Lord, we choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to give us revelation of your word in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. So the reason why I said it's a little, difficult for me to preach this message, like Jenny was saying, people can look at what's going on in the world today as far as this past week, and they can be so distraught and nervous and complaint after complaint and fear after fear. And, I'm not sure if you've actually done that, but, there are a lot of people that are looking at what's going on, and yet we know the back of the book. We know the end of the story. We know, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, we know who to put our trust and faith in, and therefore we put it in Jesus, we won't fail. We put it in Jesus, we won't come short. We won't fall short of that. And so because of what Jesus has done for us, and so we can look in the midst of what's going on and say, man, I know it's difficult, I know it's trying, I know it's, dangerous times, but we can look at the one who has given us life. It was Saturday morning. I woke up to some text messages from my family stating that there was earthquakes in Mexico. I turned the television on and nothing about the earthquakes in Mexico, nothing about what happened. I'm thinking, what? So I got to go on the internet and find out. And so some of my family members were trying to contact other family members in Mexico City, and the phones were down. And so I'm thinking, oh, what's going on? And then I just had to regroup. God, you know what's going on. God, you know what's going on. Not that God, went over there and put his finger in the ground and caused the earthquake, but God understood and knew what was going on. And so a couple of hours later, I find out family members are okay, but it wasn't even close to where my parents live. And so, I can get caught up. We can get caught up in that stuff if we forget who's actually our God and who we serve. And so here, Timothy is being urged by Paul to pray for all people here today, September 10th, 2017. We are being encouraged today to pray for not some people, all people. I mean, what a shame it would be that we would pray more for those that are Republican than Democrat, more for those that are Democrat than Libertarian. I mean, shame of us. I mean, how shameful could it be? The color of your skin. I'm going to pray for people that are light skin more than I pray for dark skin. I mean, it says pray for all people. This is what we are being urged to do, not just Timothy. And we read this passage of scripture and be like, oh yeah, Paul urged Timothy, to do this. God is urging us today because it's his word that we all ought to pray for all people. Then it says, pray for kings and all who are in authority. So we don't have a king, but we have a president. And for all who are in authority. I mean, there are times I'm praying for the for the Supreme Court judges. God, that they would be convicted for making decisions based on what can be put in their pockets or for their own, you know, agenda instead of the agenda of all of the people of the United States. So I take time to pray for, you know, and so we need to think about what's going on and pray for all people, knowing who our God is, knowing who is the one that the giver of life, knowing who is the one that paid for our sins, and that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So it was difficult for me to prepare this message because, you know, we're focused on prayer and we're focused on praying for this nation. And the only way it's going to get better is if people, all people who are connected to God through Jesus Christ, would take it seriously and receive this message of urgency. I urge you to pray for all people. You see, because a lot of times people don't think their prayers make a difference. Let me just share with you, prayer does make a difference. Such a time as today, where many people have lost property, homes, lives. I mean, some of the stories that are coming out of Texas, I mean, it's just heart-wrenching. And you know, when people are in severe need and difficulty, so many people are in need of difficulty every day, especially today with the storm that's coming up through Florida. I mean, today we're going to end our service in praying for a certain group of people that I think a lot of us, we tend to forget. And I'm not saying that it's because you're cold hearted or that you just don't care and you're just stuck on yourself. But a lot of times we just don't even think about praying for them. And so we're going to have an opportunity to pray for certain people today. But you know, the thing is that this isn't any different than any other day. I mean, when I think of how many people die every single day, I remember World Vision, we did this 30-hour famine where in the youth group, we encouraged the students for 30 hours not to eat. You remember that, Stacy? Yeah, 30 hours to fast and don't eat. And we're going to raise money so that we can send to World Vision. World Vision is an organization that helps feed, helps bring medical supplies to those children that are in need. And it was amazing back then, what, 2004 or 2005, there was... the amount of students in UCLA is the amount of children who die of hunger, malnutrition, and starvation every day. I mean, throughout all the world. And I'm thinking, wow, that is amazing how many people die. Every day we ought to be praying for all people. Every day we ought to have that focus of, God, what do you want me to be praying for? God, I heard this story. God, I read that report. And so every day there are people in need, both spiritually and physically. And so it hurts to hear about people being displaced because of a storm or even the fire in the northwest of the United States. People, you know, it's such catastrophes that are happening. But regardless of whether you know them or not, regardless of what color of their skin, regardless of what political party they are about, we need to pray for them. We need to find the time to just throw up some prayers every now and then. And, you know, when we think about that, that verse where it says, you know, talk to God, pray unceasing. You know, a lot of us think, well, that's just too hard. Without ceasing, I just need to just start praying to God without stopping. Well, maybe not every second, but every moment, every minute, just throw a prayer up to God. It's just like me talking to you. This is just like you talking to, you know, the person across from you at the table today. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says that God doesn't want any to perish. So all the people that you work with, all the people that live down your street, they don't know Jesus. That's a great place to start praying that they'll come to know the Lord. Praying the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and draw them to repentance. Why? Well, 2 Peter 3, 9 says that God doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why? Well, because God sent Jesus to die for our sins. So if they repent, now they have a relationship with the Father. So every day there are people entering eternity. The other side of eternity. Sometimes I think, well, eternity is going on right now. We're just thinking about here, this world. But we on the other side of eternity is the supernatural. And every people are entering that side of eternity every day. And many don't realize that today could be their last day. That's why it's important for us to pray for all people, to pray for every member of Congress, You know, and your prayer might start off with, oh, Lord, I pray for those rats. You know, I mean, you know what? Listen, just, you know, begin to pray. Help them to see. I mean, it's on our prayer list. If, you know, I'm going to go ahead and read this just in case some of you don't know what our prayer list says. I'm going to read it to you. And this is how I, you know, I'm just going to share with you, this is how I pray. When it, under the subject of community and country. It says, pray for the leaders of our country and community to be drawn to the Lord Jesus for salvation, that they will have a real fear of God and to be kept safe in his will. Now, this is when I pray, when I think about, you know, the members of Congress, that they would make wise decisions. So I say, God, I pray for every member of Congress that they would make wise decisions for the benefit of the American people, not themselves. That they will do what is holy, just, and right, not just for their pockets, but for everyone in the United States. And then we have this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is what we pray. This is what we ought to be praying. Every day, every other day. I mean, every day there are people who are in darkness and they don't see that they need the light. They think that they are in the light, but they're in darkness because of the lives that they're living. And so we need to see and receive what Paul is saying to Timothy is also being said to us. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, for kings and who are in, and for and all who are in authority, so we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God. You want to please God? Pray. Start praying for people. Start praying for people. Not, you know, God, I hope they get caught and they get thrown in the slammer. No, the most important thing is that they come to know Jesus Christ and that they do what is right. That's important. This is slide one. Joe, if you don't mind putting slide one. Prayer does make a difference. I found this quote from Max Lucado and the picture. I thought this was really cool. It says, our prayers may be awkward. How many of you think that, you know, your prayer, you know, the words you say, listen, you could talk to God in street lingo, you know, like you're back in the block, you know, hey, God, you know, like you know, maybe like you're Sylvester Stallone. Hey, God, I just need you. I mean, it doesn't matter what words you say. Well, the words do matter. But if you feel awkward, it doesn't have to sound like you're speaking in the King James Bible. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. You may feel like your prayers are don't even go past the ceiling. I've felt that before. I've had that feeling. And it's like, man, I feel my mind's just so cluttered of things that I've done. And my mind is focused on the wrong thing. It's focused on not on God, but on situations and difficulties of what I've done or what other people have done to me. But it says, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, and that's a problem. Many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but you've probably felt that God doesn't hear you, that God's out to lunch, that God is saying, hey, you come to church, then I'll hear you. And a lot of times, you know, we miss out because we think, well, I just don't know what to say. You know, I'm reminded of that passage of scripture where it's talking about two people are praying. And one person can't even lift up his eyes to the sky and he beats his chest and he says, oh, whoa, you know, woe is me. Oh, man, I'm not even worthy to just even look up to the sky. I mean, that's his mentality. And God hears. God wants to hear. God wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to hear the words. Don't worry about how, you know, correct your word is or, you know, how good your English is or how well your English is. But it says, since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. And this is important to know. It's important to remember. Matter of fact, the scripture says that God hears the prayers of the righteous. Psalm 34:15 says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Listen, if you're righteous, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, God's eye is on you. His eyes are on the righteous. And then it says his ears are attentive or open to their cry. So you might feel like when you go to God, God has that sign, be back in 15 minutes. No. close for shop, close, see you tomorrow, open tomorrow. No, God, his eyes are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. But many times we don't treat this as so. Almost like the thought or the idea of eating healthy. Has anybody had that thought? I got to eat healthy. I got to change my diet. I got to go to all natural. I got to go, there's nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you this question. How often do you meet that desire? French fries are my demise. I mean, I just can't. I got to have some. I mean, I'm just French fries. Just the other day I went to McDonald's and I had French fries and it's like, oh, this is not good for my body. Oh, but they're so good. But you might have the thought or the idea. How about this one? The thought or the idea, I got to live healthy. I got to exercise. How many times did you restart that exercise program, that plan that you have? How many times did you postpone it? Well, I'll just start tomorrow. But you know what? I think we do this a lot with prayer. We treat it as such, as a thought or idea, just like eating healthy. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to have a new diet. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to go run, and we just don't meet up to it. You see, God desires to hear us and God wants to listen to us. Why? Because we are his kids and he is our God. He's our Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God and are not your own?" Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How well do you treat this temple? How well do you take care of this temple? Not just with food and drink, but what are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you thankful and mindful of? Is it more of the things of this world than what God says? So no wonder people are going in an uproar and biting all their fingernails and maybe their hands, but they're just so caught up in what's going on in the world today that their eyes are not on what God's word says. Their eyes are not on who God is. So no wonder they go into hysteria and freak out. The idea or the thought to eat better, live healthy by diet, exercise, it might sound good, but it's not good until you start acting on it. Until I start getting out there and running, will my exercise, will my desire of living healthy begin? I can think about it and have that idea till the cows come home, till the beef. See, I'm already thinking about beef. I'm already thinking about eating, But comparing that thought or the idea to the need of prayer, you see, prayer is important. Just like eating healthy, treating the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's important. And a lot of times we don't really do it. We have the thought and the idea to eat better and to live healthier, but not until we actually do it. See, prayer is vitally important. And a lot of times we just have the thought or the idea, I'm going to start a new prayer. I'm going to buy a book and I'm going to start a new prayer journal. Well, go back to it and see how many times you've actually journaled into that book. And I'm convicted of this, so I'm pointing the finger right at me too. There are days that I left the journal at the church, didn't fill it out. But I've done the exact same thing. Thursday's gone by, and Thursday's my plan. I was planning to go run during lunch. Did I run? No. So we can treat that just the same thing. If we don't make the necessary choices, though, to follow that desire or that thought, it never becomes a way of life. It never becomes important. And my desire is to become a prayer warrior. Why? So that I can tell all of you I'm a mighty prayer warrior? No, so that I can be talking with God and this conversation with him. My conversation with him. Let's go to slide 2, Joe. I found this, we need to be dependent in prayer. Why? Because God wants to talk to us. God wants to listen to us. God wants to tell us some things. This is why our vital signs, when you go to the doctor, that's the first thing that they do. Of course, they check your weight, it's like, oh, great. But they check your vital signs. They check your blood pressure. They do all of that. Why? To find out how healthy you are just to begin with. How's your blood pressure? They'll do that. They'll take your temperature. They're taking your vitals. You see, need to be dependent in prayer, that we need to see that is just as important as breathing. If we can look at prayer, not just have a thought or the idea, but act upon it, that prayer is just as important as it is breathing. We'll hear God more. We'll spend time with God more. God will be able to talk with God. We'll be focused on what is more important, God's word, than all the junk that's going on. You probably didn't even realize this unless you check on the internet or, you know, you're still reading newspapers. I'm not sure how many of you are still reading newspapers. But there was a tsunami a couple months ago in India. Thousands of people died. But you know what? If you're not watching the news, you're not going to know about it. So guess what? You're not going to know who to pray for. Those people that need Jesus. Again, they did not realize that that day that they died, they were going to step into the other side of eternity. And they didn't even know it. It's amazing to find out that there are people in Seoul, Korea, praying for revival in America. Can you believe that? At one time, in one of my mission classes, at one time, America was sending, and the UK, and a couple other countries, were sending missionaries to foreign lands to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some of those foreign lands are sending missionaries to America because many people of their native tongue live in America to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now, the United States is a mission field. It's amazing. So there are many people that we ought to be praying for. But prayer, dependent on prayer, just like we're dependent on the air that we breathe. Slide three, Joan. Prayer. Oswald Chambers says, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties, like Shannon and Jeanine was saying just earlier. Our focus has got to be on God. You know, the interesting thing that we have to remember, and it's interesting too, because the God of the universe, who's holy, wants to talk with us. He wants to have conversations with us. I mean, I'm not sure why we don't see prayer as such of a vital importance. And how could we forget that it is so vital, just like we breathe air? Because what prayer is, it's a conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's a conversation with Him. It's where we talk with Him and He talks with us. And a lot of times your prayer life is probably just you talking to Him, not realizing that God wants to talk to you. But yet, you know what? And I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this, that I just talk to Him and I lose out. Hey, hello? Hey, Dad. He just wants to talk to me. He wants to share some things with me. So I just need to shut up sometimes. And I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I can just ramble on. Anybody can ramble on? Raise your hand. You can ramble. Yeah. You can just ramble on. And you can just ramble on, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes I think God's like, you know, I'm thinking that He's doing that. But you know what? Our God, our Heavenly Father, He's not. His ear is glued to that phone, maybe laughing, maybe scratching his head, thinking, okay. And I'm just rambling on. I got to remember, I need to stop. I need to stop and then just listen. So after all the rambling, okay, God, so what do you think about that? And then just shut up and then just listen. Listen to what He's got to say. I mean, what do you think a conversation is? Today, hopefully you have, when you eat dinner, when you eat lunch, you're going to have a conversation with somebody, hopefully. Okay. People say that normally when it's really good food, you don't really have a conversation with anybody because you're just too busy eating. But you know, what normally happens in a conversation, there's communion. You're having some special time with people. That's why I tell my kids, you know, when we sit down, your cell phones better not come to the table. Don't bring them. Turn them off or just put them away. Why? There's a special time with family, communion. There's communication going on. Again, communication, it goes two ways. I'm talking, but I'm listening. Then sometimes I'm talking, but then sometimes I got to listen. In this conversation, there's a relationship. It could be friendship. It could be the relationship of a co-worker, of a boss and an employee. There is a relationship there. But here in this conversation with our Heavenly Father, it's a love relationship. A love relationship with a son and a father, with a daughter and a father. And what am I doing? I'm sharing. He shares too. What am I doing? I'm supposed to be listening. I'm giving information. And a lot of times the information God already knows. And so the idea or the thought, well, why even talk to God?
Why even talk to him? Because he already knows. Because he loves us and he wants to have a conversation with us. If his eyes are on the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Hey, bye, Lord. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. And I'm just going to read this. I learned this prayer it's called CCD. It's Catholics, like Catholic Sunday school. To be able to, do my communion or confirmation, I had to memorize the Lord's Prayer. But I only knew the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. But then I didn't realize there was more to it. Of course, you know, I guess the nun at that time didn't actually teach on verses 5 through 8. She just told us to memorize verses 9 through 13, so I did. But verse 5, it says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they have to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men." Now notice, or it says, "For they love to pray." Not they have to pray, but they love to pray. Why do they love to pray on the street corners? Because they want to be seen. Seen by man, not seen by God. "And surely I say to you, they have their reward." Verse 6. "But you, when you pray..." Now, you know who's talking? This is Jesus. And he's talking to the people there. But you know what he's doing? He's talking to us today. All right? He's talking to us. "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." What's he saying? Well, you know what? If you don't have a closet, you got a car. If you don't have a car and you're just going to go for a walk, then you have, you know, the open space there to go and have a time with the Father. Because the thing is the secret place, yes, it's in the closet. You know, he's talking about a closet. But the secret place can be a car. When you're driving. Now, I found out that when I'm driving, it's not the same as just being in a one room or sitting at a park and sitting at a bench or sitting in my car in the parking lot. Because when I'm driving, my focus, my eyes, I'm giving attention to the road. I'm not going to run into anybody. I'm not going to get into a car accident. I'm not going to speed. I'm not going to go, you know, 35 miles down 95. I mean, my attention is on other things. But when I'm sitting down in my closet or at the park, sitting on a bench or in the parking lot in my car, my attention is on God. My attention and my focus is talking to him, listening to him, talking to him, listening to him. So it's a little different. But here he says that you go into your closet and go into your secret place, and there is where the Father is. He's in the secret place. Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So again, like Oswald Chambers says, you know, it's not about, listen, if you're praying and it feels awkward, look, if you're being honest with God and you're talking and your focus and your attention is on God, doesn't matter if you're using perfect good English. Doesn't matter. Just talk to him. Open your heart and talk to him. Be humble. Be open before the Lord. Verse 8, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask." Now here it goes. Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Jesus gives us a how-to. You know, do it yourself, how-to. This is how you do it. Verse 9, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." See, when Jesus is telling us how to pray and giving us some how-tos, it's not so that we can have this robotic phrase of words that we can cry out whenever we're in need, because he sees right through us. And we'll be just like those religious people who want to go on the street corners and just pray out loud to be seen by people because, you know, I just want to look and sound holy. But God sees right through us. But in this prayer, understand the central theme of this prayer, of this prayer that Jesus is telling us, the how-to, that we go to the Father and we ask of the Father. But even in our asking, we are committing what the Father has for us. Understand that this is Christ's instruction how to. And what's the theme? Is that there's an acknowledging of who's the supreme God, who's holy and who's not. Giving honor to God and glory to God and not ourselves. Making a petition. It's being made, but there's also a petition and a commitment of holy living. Heaven on earth. Okay? Heaven on earth. There's repentance. There's humility. And again, there's an acknowledgement of who's supreme. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Not mine. All our prayers to God, to the Father, emphasize one of these many truths. So when we pick up the phone and we're talking with God and we're having this communion, this conversation with God, all of these truths that we find in this prayer of the how-to, we're finding that we're recognizing, acknowledging who God is and who's and who we are not. Who's holy, who we're giving honor to, who we're making petitions to, who we are committing to. Because a lot of times people will say, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. And then God's trying to say, hey, would you do this for me? And we're not listening because we're not willing to do that. We want God to do what we want God to do. But are we willing to say, as it says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is where God is in charge and everyone in heaven just follows. It ought to be done here on earth as well. And we ought to walk in that. On earth as it is, or on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. There's a reason why we are to pray for all. And this is why Paul gives that charge. All need God. We all need God. We all need to live as they live in heaven. We all need to live with the commitment, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and in my life as it is being done in heaven by everybody that's in heaven. This is why we need to pray for all people. All people need God. We all need to refocus on who is love, who has the power, and who is the answer. Definitely not me. It's definitely not you. You don't have the power. You don't have the answer. God is the answer, and he has the answer. So this past week, I read some stories and some comments about the tragedies that have been happening in the last few couple of weeks. Forest fires in Northwest. And that the fact that if you've turned on the channel, the news, which I have, and, you know, I try my best to stay away from it. And, you know, I try my best not, because you can get stuck in that. I mean, just watching the news the last few days, if you didn't know the Lord, you would get scared. You would be fearful and you would have to refocus on who God is, who's your Savior, who's your God, and who has you in the palm of his hand. You would have to refocus on that if you got too carried away listening to all the news. But there were people in the Northwest who felt forgotten. Why? Because the news was just talking about Harvey and Irma, but there wasn't a lot of news about the Northwest fires in Montana. Several hundreds of thousands of acres all burnt up. People's homes gone. Skeletons of animals are found in the burn fields. People have been forgotten. They feel like they've been forgotten. So much more that this lady posted something about how she felt like they were being forgotten. And she was saying, pleading, don't forget us. So we need to pray for them. A mother in Texas loses four children because they drowned during Harvey. I mean, some difficult stories. I feel their hurt, and I can't even imagine the brokenness that they're feeling. House all burnt up. All their cattle and animals burnt up. This woman who lost, she only has four children and lost all four of them. Texas officer who died trying to save people. I mean, he'll be remembered by some. Hopefully, he'll be prayed, and his family will be prayed for by all. Because all need God. Prayer. When we really apply this as something that is vital, it is vital, and it is a dire need for all of us who are believers to apply this to our lives, just as Jesus has instructed us and Paul urged Timothy and is urging us. You know what it'll do if we apply it and not just think of it, not just keep it as a thought or an idea, but we actually apply it every day? It will lead us to play a part of what God wants accomplished. Now, again, the Almighty God, holy, majestic, full of glory, wants to listen to us, talk to him as we pray for others and intercede for others on their behalf. He wants to hear us. This is what Paul urged Timothy. This is what Paul is urging us. This is what Jesus gave us an instruction, a how-to, to pray. Prayer, when we really apply this to our lives, it will lead us to do what is needed. What's needed? Praying for all, talking to God on all for all people that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Why? Because God doesn't want them to die and perish. It will refocus our eyes on what is more important in life so that we can return every day. We can return to that place of intimacy. Hey, Father, how you doing? I'm not doing too well today. I woke up with a bad mood and bad attitude. Yeah, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. But Lord, I need you to help me refocus. I need you, God. Lord, Holy Spirit, remind me of God's word to help me be refocused on what's more important in life. Not me, myself, and I, but you know, the needs of others. Lord, I pray. And we can return to this place of intimacy. Why do I call it intimacy? Because it's a conversation between you and the Heavenly Father who wants to hear what's going on with you. But also, we are being urged today to pray for all. Pray for those. Pray for our king, our president. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those who are in need. Pray for those that are going to put their life on the line, which is what we're going to do in a little bit. They're going to put their life on the line to rescue people, to help people in need, to help people, people's homes, people's cars that are being drifted by flood, by floods and waters that are filling the streets and the highways. The place where he is waiting for another conversation with you and with me. It's important and it's vital. And we need to see it as so that we can talk to him because he's waiting to hear us.